Don't miss the OTR Super Sprint, SA's newest supercar event at the Bend Motorsport Park, 24th to the 26th of August. Get your tickets at thebend.com.au.
Making news around the place, Roo. Now, my wife has often said to me, gee, you talk about poo a lot on your show. Well, I'm sorry, about to do it again. Have you read this report about beards? The Wags just handed me this. It turns out that they've tested men with beards, and they often find fecal matter in their beards.
If it's in people's beards, it means it's in people's hair on top of their head, surely.
Does this go back to what you said the other day where you gave us the story about when you flush the toilet with the seat up?
I've changed my habits after
the
that.
The splashing and everything can end up on your toothbrush.
Just anything bounds in the, out and goes around it, the whole bathroom. You've got to shut the lid. You've got to shut the lid.
So they're saying that they've swabbed men's beards and...
Yeah, but it's probably all over your face and everything.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, if it's on your beard, why wouldn't it be anywhere else? Because you know, every day, unless they're talking about big hipster beards where it gets sort of in tangled in there or whatever, dits. But
this report says there's a disturbing amount of bacteria found in the male facial hair.
Mm.
I'm not a big hair man.
I don't have beards, so you don't have to
worry about
it.
People listening this morning with beards, I'm sorry, but I'm not big on, I reckon less hair is better.
Yeah, I hate shaving, so I would... Well, I don't mind having beards.
No, you've got that neat little close to your face sort of thing.
Yeah, but I'd have it longer if I could.
But the big Bush Ranger Ned Kelly beard, I'm not into it. Don't
try it one day, dudes. Try it before you knock it.
All right.
Hey, what's happening down in Tassie with guns?
This is really interesting for me. I remember vividly 1996, we all do, but I happen to be working in the Channel 7 newsroom and how big the Port Arthur massacre was and unfortunately a dark day in Australian history. And what's happened now is there's a push by the Liberal government in Tasmania to relax gun laws all of a sudden.
Yep.
And when you think about the man of the day, our Prime Minister at the time was John Howard, and he championed the cause for having a gun amnesty, and a lot of people handed their guns in. And when you compare us to America, you'd say that we've actually probably got it right here. We've done it pretty well.
Yep.
And yet for some reason, the Liberal government in Tassie is saying they're going to relax gun laws. And so... what's happened is...
Do you know how much they want to relax?
Yeah,
it wouldn't be much, surely, would it?
Oh, pump-action rifles.
Is it more for primary producers and stuff?
Yeah, a bit of that, yeah. But it still means there'll be more guns out there, though, Roo. More people have their hands on guns. And look, some people do have legitimate reasons, no doubt about that, but I think less guns the better.
There's not many people around the world saying relax gun laws at the moment, is it?
No. And when you see what that state went through and how tragic that situation was... And interestingly, Roo, the people leading the push worked in the hospitals that day. There's a group of health professionals have come together to say, you cannot do this, you must not do it, because they were on the front line of seeing bodies arrive and all of that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's not a nice story, really.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd actually like to strengthen up or stabbing laws a lot tougher.
Yeah, we are having a lot of stabbings, aren't we?
I don't like it at all.
You hear about it every week.
And I don't know how people are doing it or why people are doing it or how they can get themselves in a state of mind where they can do it or even plan to do it.
Seems to be out of control. And the other story this morning, Roo, this will break later.
Apparently that one at Renmark, that girl took that knife from home, wasn't on the spot sort of instinctive decision.
So she planned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thought about it.
I just don't know how that happens.
Mm. Just finally making news this morning, Roo. The Malaysian government's going to release a report, MH370. Now, that happened in 2014, and you know it's been a mystery ever since, but they're going to release their final report this morning to tell us exactly or what they think has happened anyway. So,
where is it at? I don't even know.
They're still confused.
They haven't found it at all.
No. I mean, the latest theory was that the pilot took everyone down with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but they haven't found the plane, though, have they?
No, they still haven't. No.
I didn't check that island.
No, for those that missed it, Roo had his clairvoyant ring us one morning and say they're all living happily on an island somewhere. Has she confirmed that yet or not?
I haven't spoke to her for a while. After that one.
Yeah. Do you pay her per hour?
No.
I was going to say. That's what's making news around the place. 6:15 ruined. It's on Triple M. 6:22, ruined it here on Triple M. Let's talk about the footy over the weekend, Roo. What happened to the Crows?
What happened to the Crows? They sort of played really well in the first quarter. Didn't put the score on the scoreboard. They dominated, and they should have been a long way in front at quarter time, but they just couldn't maximise their opportunities in their forward line. They just didn't get goals as a result of all their good work they did. They looked as good as they've looked all year for most of that first first quarter. So that was one, the first mistake. And then I thought Melbourne responded really well in the second quarter and probably could have won that quarter by more. And then they dominated the third quarter, and Adelaide's midfield got ripped to bits in that third quarter, and they need to look at how they stop those run-ons in the future and what they can do, because I think it was 16-2, the clearances, and the same thing happened against Geelong a couple of weeks ago. So Rory Sloane was getting tagged and getting cut out of the game, and he couldn't have much influence. Perhaps, you know, he could have been moved onto one of the other Melbourne midfielders who was having some impact. And then in the last quarter, Adelaide had plenty of opportunities and made a great run, but just couldn't kick goals again, similar to the first quarter. So just wasn't meant to be for Adelaide. And Melbourne played reasonably well. I don't think Melbourne would come out of the game and say, gee, we fixed our last quarter issues, because if it was a good side that kicked its goals, they would have lost, and they would have been in the exact same position as last week. I think they'd be happy with their response, Melbourne, after the start. But, it's just been one of those years for Adelaide, so I think they won't play finals. I mean, they still a chance, and they still play as if they can make it and still attack this week like they can, but it's just been one of those years, Dits, and they don't deserve to play finals.
Well, I reckon you hit the post twice in the first quarter, and then I reckon there were three more, weren't there?
Might have been three more, yeah. But not good enough. No. You can't have a spot in the third quarter where they kick 7-1 or 5 in 15 minutes and expect to win a game of footy. So they've got some work to do, the Crows, and they know that, and they'll do that, and they're going to have to watch on the sidelines and in the finals and make it burn a bit, Dits. Yeah. Get them a bit angry.
Just don't disrupt us this week. I mean, you know, there's no point beating us this week now. Really?
I'll probably start getting a few players back this week too.
Righto.
Anyway, now, you tell me about Port.
Yeah, Port Adelaide yesterday I thought were very, very good. Difficult conditions in Ballarat. It was freezing and there was all this surface water around the ground, so it was difficult. But Port Adelaide to win by 44 points in those conditions was very good. And I'll tell you what, we saw the importance of Paddy Ryder yesterday, because
how did he play?
He was good, but it meant Charlie Dixon was forward, and Charlie played arguably his best game. Marked everything, very strong, kicked good goals. So Charlie Dixon was superb.
Did Ryder look fit?
He did, yep. Thought he was good. So
we said they wouldn't have played him unless he was fit, sure.
So it just made a big difference having him out there.
Yep.
And then the structure looked better. A couple of players I thought were superb. Polek with the wet ball was absolutely fantastic. Just handled it beautifully. And I thought Brad Ebert had a great game. So he'll come in on Thursday, but he was very good, took some good marks. And I want to mention young Leanert in his second game. They have really found a player with this fella.
Mature age player.
Very cool and calm. He was good.
Big boy too. Mm.
So, Port Adelaide played much better yesterday.
When did you think you had the game in the bag, or was it all day?
I thought they were, even though it was close, you always thought Port were in control, I reckon.
Yep.
Yeah, the conditions kept the game close, but Port Adelaide were the better side, no doubt about that.
That's good. It's so
Into the top four. But what about the ladder? What did Sydney do on the weekend? Went from fourth to ninth, is that right?
Sydney lost, yeah, they're out.
That's how tight this thing is. It's incredible.
Super tight, and will continue to have a lot of importance on games. Yeah, so you got Collingwood on 48, which is 12 wins, and then you've got Sydney in ninth. So third to ninth is only one win.
Gee.
And then you've got North Melbourne and Essendon just behind them on 40 points. So third to 11th, two-game difference.
Hell.
So she's pretty tight. It's going to be a great finish to the season.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, 6:26, ruined. It's here on Triple M. Brew, you know, with the Olympics, it's changing, fair to say that from the day it first started, sports have changed. Sport isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, we've had a lot of different things added to the Olympics.
Yeah, and some have been deleted as well. Sports change. But do you see where, and I know you know a little bit about this, you might be able to explain it, but there's a big, big push to have gamers play in the Olympics
now. Computer games, yeah.
Gamers, yeah. You know, people, I play against you in a car racing thing or something.
Oh, in anything, yeah. I mean, there's things that are huge at the moment.
Super Mario.
Esports is what has been spoken about, and the Crows have got a team in that now. And
how are they going? Are they winning?
Going all right. It's the money in gaming is going to quadruple in the next 3 years, up to $3 billion or something. It's actually huge, and to the point where, you know, it's a big issue for parents with kids, how much to play or what to let them play. There's a game called Fortnite that you'll hear about. Richmond Footy Club have even got a set up at their training facility and they've embraced it for their players instead of trying to push them away from it.
You're joking?
No, no, it's serious. It's quite tough for parents out there. So they might bring it into the Olympics.
So you know, when I was commentating the Olympics years ago, they got me to do taekwondo. Mm. So I could, if I was there now, they could say, "Quick, get out to." You know, that stadium, gaming, the final's on. They're playing Super Mario. You've got Uruguay taking on Egypt in.
Yeah.
Do
your research on it. It's quick.
Indy 500s or something.
That's right.
On gaming consoles.
That's exactly
right.
That'd
be riveting stuff, wouldn't it?
Well, it's riveting to the fact
that. How would I commentate that? Gee, look at his finger action. Look how fast he pushes that. Oh, he changes direction quickly.
Now great hand eye coordination.
Oh, he's good hand eye coordination. And best dressed nerd I've seen in years.
Oh.
Well, what else could you say?
Hey, your footballers at Porter, these sort of people that you're talking about, and the nerds.
Nah, wouldn't happen at Port Adelaide.
Yes, it would.
No way in the world.
Yes, it would.
We're not playing e-game. I'll ask Brad Ebert about this Thursday.
Hey, he's already spoken about it. He said these players speak another language.
Mm. But, sorry, just to go in with
you never played computer games when you were young?
Nah, never ever did. Nah. The crowds are enormous, aren't they, for this?
Oh, they can fill a 40,000-50,000 seat stadium, watch people
That's
play.
That's incredible. Mm. That's why the Olympic movement's interested in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all right, Ruined It's on Triple M in a moment. Joanna Griggs to tell us about the House Rules Grand Final. The busiest woman on Australian TV joins us now. Big, big grand final tonight. Doesn't come any bigger than this. House Rules, Joanna Griggs, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Love it to chat.
Hey, tell us about, I'm interested in Toad and Mandy from Tasmania. How does he get the name Toad?
They're from just outside of Bega in a place called Candelow, so in country New South Wales.
Oh, New South Wales. I thought they were from Tasmania.
Sorry. Have a Tassie team this year. That's all right. His real name's Ian. No one calls him Ian. He reckons that he's been called Toad since he was a baby. He says he was a very unattractive
He's a big baby, was he?
He was a big baby, and he has a huge toad tattoo. So he just, like, I think I heard Mandy call him Ian once, and
that was when he was in trouble.
It was very strange.
Yeah. How's it been this series, Joan? Have you been happy with the quality of work by the contestants?
Yeah, look, they always blow me away with what they do and the time pressures that they're under, and certainly the Front Yard Challenge, which is what decides the grand final, they've produced some pretty amazing work, and you see them progress so quickly throughout the course of a season from their first reno to what they are producing by the end. It is quite phenomenal.
Jared Petrenko, a bit of a star in this, or a big star in this town, no doubt, and he and Jess, gee, I've looked at the photos of their house at West Beach. That turned out magnificently.
It is brilliant, and I think their gardens out of the garden phase were pretty much the best out of what was done for the backyard challenge. So they're just a lovely couple. They were just a delight to work with the whole way through. He kind of blew me away that he was just so shy and so unsure of himself when he's obviously so accomplished at other things. But just, I think it was a really great thing for him to do, to sort of push himself personally. And boy, they were just, the world's most best-looking couple I think I've ever seen.
Hey, how does the grand final work out tonight?
So basically they've got a front yard challenge where they do each other's front yards up, which is interesting in itself because Mel and Dave live on the water at Hope Island, and Toad and Mandy obviously are on this amazing property outside of Candelow. So huge spaces, both of them. And it gets judged by the judges. And then we have a big announcement in the studio. So the judges reveal who wins. And there's obviously, it's always a bit of a mixed bag of emotions. You know that one team's going to be ecstatic and walk away with $355,000 cash as well as their hometown. And the other team, you just know in front of their family and friends, is gutted. So it's hard. It's a hard slog, but it's actually quite an exciting night for everyone. I think we all just get to the point where you're pretty happy that it wraps up at the end of a very long season.
For sure. Joe, I saw the promos last week. Fair to say there's been tragedy. This would be the most emotional series that you've been involved in?
Oh, that's the most emotional event I've been involved in television in 25 years, to be honest. We had a team that applied to be on the show, got on the show, and then the night after they were accepted, Wade went fishing, which he'd always done, and as he was climbing down the rocks of the National Park, the rope broke and he ended up with a severe brain injury and passed away. So we normally do a charity round, but we decided, given the circumstances, with a young baby, their baby was 7 months old, Koa, when Wade died, that in actual fact the show would, rather than focus on a charity, we would actually finish their home for them. And it ended up absolutely beautiful. Chelsea was the most extraordinary talent, beautiful girl, and just so many emotions going through that home. I just blubbered like a baby, and as you know, as she did, there were lots of layers of what she was feeling that day.
Yeah,
Joanna, just before you let us go, there was a magazine that wrote an article about you, and you said there was 14 things incorrect in it. How did that make you feel?
Unlucky.
Seriously,
to get 14 things wrong, very unlucky.
It's about the 10th time that they've done it, so I just call them out. One of the great things, I mean, there's definitely a bad side to social media, but one of the really great things is you get to speak to people who want to follow you directly. And in years gone past, they'd be writing absolute bollocks and you'd never have an avenue to be able to call them out on it. But social media does give you that. So to be perfectly honest, the article was so ridiculous that it was actually quite a bit of fun just pointing out.
Yeah.
I mean, it basically... half the stuff that they wrote didn't make sense with the other half of what they wrote, and they're obviously just writing to pictures, and I think people are getting pretty sick of it.
Yeah. Nah, well done. Mm. We enjoyed it. Don't worry. We read it out on this program. It was very, very good. So keep it up. Well done. And good luck tonight with the big grand final.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that a lot.
Good on you. Channel 7's Joanna Griggs, and we look forward to House Rules
big
tonight.
Big final tonight. Big prize, isn't it?
$350,000.
Plus your house. You better go in it.
Can you renovate or not?
No, I'm hopeless as well. I'm like pup.
Can you learn?
No, I can. Let's do the garden.
Have a crack at it next year. 6:53, ruined. It's on Triple M. Top of 16, evening showers. Had a little bit of rain over the last couple of days, Roo.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Gee, it poured at the footy the other night, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
Bucket it down.
It did. Time for our Monday phone-in. We'd like to take calls on a Monday morning on 1-3-3-5-3. You never know who you're going to get. Could be anybody. Let's go to our first caller. Hello, good morning.
Hey, g'day, Ruin Jits. It's Murray on the Murray.
Muzz.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it looked pretty cold in Ballarat, didn't it? That game down there, Port Adelaide. Yeah.
Good move to play a game in Ballarat in the middle of winter, isn't it, Murray?
Why do they play in Ballarat? Why don't they play up here in the Murray?
Bit drier up there, isn't it?
Can you just explain why they played in Ballarat?
Have to ask Gil McLaughlin.
Well, is it about taking footy to the regions, Roo?
It's about Ballarat paying money to get it there, actually.
Like Tassie do.
Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah.
May as well just take it to China.
Yeah. Well, they do. Well, they do that as well, Muzz.
I'm not ringing up for an argument, though.
No.
Talking beer bottles at the bar.
Now, why do you call him beer bottles again?
Yeah, he's empty from the neck up.
Right.
But he's come up with a pretty good idea. He reckons that what they should do, why don't recruiters look at some possibilities of recruiting the Ninja Warriors?
Wow.
Now you might be talking.
Yeah.
They look pretty fit, don't they?
He reckons if they're good enough to climb Mount Midoriyama, they're good enough to climb a pack.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Is this the same bloke? I think it was Beer Bottles last week, though, that had the idea to put a pool fence right around Australia, the coastline, didn't he?
Yeah, he did too. He also reckons that Google is female.
Why is that?
Why is that?
Yeah, because it's female, because if it doesn't let you finish a sentence before making a suggestion.
Right. Fair enough. All right.
Anyway.
Thanks, Muzz. Good on you, mate. Thanks for calling
in. Muzz. Hello, good morning.
G'day, boys.
Is that you, Tex?
Tex.
Yeah.
You a bit down, mate?
Yeah, well, I feel as I've let a few people down. You know how Bernie sort of chatting to Danger was having a checkbook.
Yeah, I haven't been
really there, man.
Yeah.
Well, I've done the same. I went to the Watermark with Bernie yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So I just, you know, he's the opposition now, and I just forget that because we're mates.
Right.
Oh, right.
Did you have a few beers?
Well, we had a couple. Had probably too many, but probably I think that I should wait a month before I see him.
Think about it too much.
No, you're allowed to. I think what people commented on was that it was immediately after the sire. Of course, you're allowed to catch up with your mate.
So how long should I wait?
Just probably not immediately after the game. On the oval.
What, like 9 minutes?
Go in, have your shower.
Yeah.
Debrief the game. Think about it, and you can probably catch up even later that night.
After the television broadcast finishes, mate.
What, maybe in the car park?
Well, maybe. I can't put an exact time limit on it, but, you know.
I felt too soon.
Did it?
Yeah.
You felt like you cheated on the public?
and the team and the teammates, and he kept shouting, and I think he was taking the piss a bit.
he was rubbing it in your face a bit, was he?
Yeah, he was. Didn't like it. Anyway, did you hear about? One molecule says to the other one, "Look, I think I've just lost an electron." And the second molecule says, "Are you sure?" And the first molecule says, "I'm positive."
Right. Get on your text. Still got a sense of humour. That's good to see. Time for one more call, I reckon. Hello. Good morning.
Hello, rude boy. Hello, ginger nut.
Hello. Hello, Tommy. Tommy.
You know what? I'm so proud because, you know, he's my third cousin from Peking.
Yeah.
You know, and we celebrate her work because she has done so well. Me, I am slightly related to Li Linxin.
Oh, the SBS newsreader.
That's right. You see what she wear? We celebrate. And to do that this week, or you come into my restaurant all week, the New Jet Imperial Golden Moon Dragon Rickshaw picking in, you wrap yourself in black vinyl and you get free dim sim.
All right. I'll give
black
it a
vinyl.
Actually, I'm just looking at her on the TV now. I reckon if I put on like a garbage bag or something, that would look similar.
That's right. That's right, you wear garbage bag, you put your head through it, you're a big ginger nut through the garbage bag, and you'll get free ball of sick hot dogs.
Right. Thanks, Tom.
Just remember, as my great uncle say, if the shoe fits, get another one just like it.
Right. Thanks, Tommy.
Tommy, you are a ripper.
Bit of Chinese philosophy as well.
If the shoe fits, get another one like it.
Oh,
that's a beauty.
Yeah, right.
That could be the best we've had for a while.
Ring now if you want to win $1,000, 1-3-3-5-3, pressure test time. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. Roo, there's a story out of Melbourne this morning now with the infamous Williams clan.
Yep, Carl Williams.
Yep, the daughter is Dakota, daughter of Carl and Roberta.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened to Dakota is that with the people that have passed away in the family, she's been left in the estate or in the wills, she's been left a townhouse valued at about $600,000, right? So on the surface, you'd go, oh, thanks for leaving me that.
Yep.
However, she's also been left with a tax bill of $900,000. So she's now suing her mother and her grandmother to try and get this paid for.
Very messy.
And when I read this, I think, well, how does that happen? So if grandpa in my family dies, can I inherit his tax debt?
I didn't think you'd be able to pass on debts to people. No. Or you'd only be able to do it if the if the asset was worth more than the liability. So that you can't get into financial trouble because of it.
Yeah. I don't know how this happens, or if it goes to someone in a de facto relationship as well. If the fella dies and all of a sudden the lady didn't know that he'd racked up all these debts, is she liable for it in the will or the estate pays? Right, it gets messy, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Now, I'm sure none of these answers are quite definitive, but there must be some guidelines we can go to. So we've got Tony Kerrin on the line, who's a lawyer at Grope Hamilton. Tony, good morning.
Morning. How are you, General?
Good. How could this young girl be left with a tax bill of $900,000 and she had nothing to do with it?
Well, I don't know the specifics of that case, but generally speaking, what happens is the executors of an estate, so you die, and if you've got $600,000 in assets and you've got $900,000 in debt, then there's nothing left for the beneficiaries. The estate's effectively bankrupt, just like an individual can become.
So she's not liable for the extra $300,000, though, is she?
No, not personally. No, not personally. What would happen is if you had that asset, you would think that the tax office would take it all, but they would. There's no point getting blood out of a stone. If the estate hasn't got the assets, then that would be where it would end, you would think.
So it wouldn't be they could keep the asset and the tax debt would be wiped off, though, would it, where she can have a big, reasonable win?
No, the tax office generally get what they want, and they would come after their state, their asset, you would think. Mm. I'm not clear on why you would pursue others. Maybe there was something that they incurred the debt or something, I don't know. But executors have a right to pursue liabilities to the estate. So if there's someone out there who owes the estate money, they can also pursue that.
All right, what about a married couple? So everything's fair and square, but one of them passes away, and normally in a will you've left everything you've got to the spouse, but there's a mortgage on the house and there are cars to be paid off and whatever. I guess you can be in a position where you could actually have to move out of the house, couldn't you, and pay everything off?
It can happen. Generally speaking, again, when someone dies, the asset pool is collected, and quite often de factos and married couples have joint assets, and they pass immediately upon death, and that's land one of them. So in that circumstance, you would be responsible for paying off the debt as the executor of his estate again, or executrix.
Yep.
But it's not that simple. De facto is a little different. It depends a bit too on whether the debt's in joint names or whether it's a single debt, that sort of thing. So it can get complex.
Yeah. Look, I know we have to speak in general terms here because every case is different, but what about when we hear of someone challenging a will? Now, I would have thought that if my wife and I make a will, that is binding. That's, you know, we've put in that will what we want and where we want things to go. But you do hear about it a lot, don't you, where there's a disgruntled family member that challenges a will. Are they often successful with challenging?
Define success for me.
do they win?
It just depends. It is an area that's grown because the asset pool of many people now upon death is larger than what it was, say, 30 years ago. If you've got a house and you've got a value to that, then, you know, people get interested in, if they're disgruntled and they've got an asset to pursue. Whether they win or not depends on a number of circumstances, particularly the need of that person. If someone's been left out of the will and they are, you know, not doing so well, then they're going to have to try whatever means they can to get by in the future. And a court will intervene in some circumstances and redistribute the assets of the estate.
All right. Thanks for that, Tony. Tony Karen, lawyer at Grope Hamilton here in Adelaide. I'm interested.
So Grandpa didn't leave the debt. It was just the debt he had, and because he had assets, they went chasing the asset.
But for some reason, the daughter is suing Mum and Grandma.
Yeah, it's a sticky situation, but there must be some good and bad situations out there with inheritances that you can get your hands on, or funny things that you left, or funny things that you situations where you haven't been left anything.
Yeah.
Let's ring in and give us your story. 133353 on things you have got or you haven't got in the will.
Yeah, someone that might have some nasty relative you've got might have had a crack at you as well. Give us a call. 133353.
Oh, we're taking calls on good and bad things that have happened with wills, and we've got a showdown double to give away. So this is a double to this weekend's showdown, which is going to be absolutely huge Saturday at 4:05, Crows v Port Adelaide in a big game at Adelaide Oval. We've got an anonymous caller right now. Good morning.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Good,
thanks.
All right, look, this is a true story. Basically, this lady that we knew looked after a guy for about 20-odd years.
What do you mean, looked after?
Looked after, basically, was the daughter he never had.
So sort of nursed him a bit?
Nursed him a bit,
yep.
But the true daughter hadn't seen the father for 40-odd years.
Right.
Okay, so when she was 20, they had a big fight, whatever. She moved on with her life and hated her father. Now, basically, when he died, he left everything to her, and the pool was worth around about $1.5 million. The guy was fairly wealthy.
He left it to his true daughter or the one that looked after him?
The one that looked after him, mm-hmm. because she had been there all her life.
Yep.
Most of his life, when he really needed it, and especially in the dying days. Now, the daughter, obviously, the true daughter, basically, when he died, he left her $100,000 or whatever it was, $200 or $100,000, and she contested the will and went, oh, no, my dad's dead now. I want all of it. Mm. And she did. She went for it. Now, let me tell you, what happened was the legal fees were over $600,000. $600,000. The daughter ended up getting $800,000 or $780,000 or whatever. And the poor person that was looking after the old man for 20-odd years, even more I think it was, ended up with $150,000 and then had to pay tax on that.
Mm. All right.
That's great.
You hear these stories, don't you? Rue, I was surprised that our lawyer there, Tony Karen, said that, you know, people contest it, and if they've fallen on hard times, they'll probably get something. I find, to me, if people make a decision in their will about where they want things to go,
yeah. I would have thought especially if it's updated and it recently
binding,
and everything,
yeah.
I think you'd think maybe if it hadn't been or it seemed abnormal or something like that, there might be a chance. But give us a call, 133353. We've got a showdown double to give away.
7:28, Roo and Ditts here on Triple M. We're talking about contesting wills or odd things that have happened with your wills.
Yep, and we've got a showdown double to give away for the best caller. This is going to be huge on Saturday afternoon. Big game for both clubs. Another anonymous caller. Good morning.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Very well.
At the time when I was married to this lady, her father died, and she was the only child, and when the will was read out, there was a few cousins in the family that were obviously had percentage of it, and they all ganged up together and said she wasn't the real daughter. She wasn't the daughter at all. So she had to, at the time, after her dad passed away and at the funeral, had to go and get a DNA test done to prove that she was actually the daughter.
You're joking.
No. And then he was quite a wealthy man, and he had one of Australia's largest antique motorbike collections, and all that money just got squindled and dwindled through the courts. And just to say that she wasn't the daughter, and she was.
Oh, that's disgraceful. I just wonder whether that all that stuff should be all done before they pass away. It's, I don't know.
Well, maybe you're not expecting a fight. This always happens after the fact, really,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, when there's money to be got at. Let's go to Holden Hill. G'day, Bronwyn.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hi. My cousin in England passed away about 5 years ago, and she didn't have any children. And her step-niece did all her running around, you know, took her to the doctors, took her shopping and everything for her.
Yep.
And when she eventually went to a nursing home and she died, the will was read. And what my cousin had done was she had all this money in the bank that nobody knew about, and she left £240,000 to the Gurkhas. The Gurkhas were the Indian
soldiers,
army that fought during sort of World War II. And my cousin had a soft spot for them for some reason, and she left the whole £240,000 to them. And my cousin received a parcel in the mail, and she thought, oh, What's this? She opened it up, and it was a box of dirty laundry from the nursing home.
That's what she got.
Geez. The lawyer felt sorry for her and gave her £500.
Wow.
So I got a letter from her to say, hey, look what I inherited from Auntie Christine.
Nice. Well, for doing all her work and looking after her and everything.
Yeah, taking to the doctors, repairing a house before it was sold. She had to pay for the broken plumbing and new carpet. She paid for all of that herself. Gave all the money to the Gurkhas.
Jeez,
I hope they used it well.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, all right, thanks, Bronwyn.
I think we better give Bronwyn a showdown double dits for that.
Yeah,
you're off to the showdown, Bronwyn, which will be a cracking game Saturday afternoon.
That's unbelievable. They're the stories we like. 133353. Have you got anything for us? It's Roo and Ditts here on Triple M.
You're Australian. Be Australian.
Anything un-Australian from now on, we'll name and shame, all right?
This is a blatant violation of the Constitution. You come from a land
down under. This is an outrage.
What a load of crap.
And now to this week's reason why the world's gone mad.
And it's just total bullshit.
A bit of un-Australian activity on the weekend up in the Adelaide Hills, Ditts, of the by-election.
Hang on, what? My neck of the wood? What's going on?
Double dipping.
What do you mean?
Like, actually, double dipping. Not double dipping as in getting too much, going back to the well for some coin, but Alexander Downer.
What's he done?
He's been double dipping here in terms of a bit of tucker. He had a big wedge in his hand. He's talking to people.
Mm.
He's taken a bite out of it. He's caught up in the moment, and he's whacked it back into the sauce.
Oh, you can't do that.
Not after you've had a bite.
Not that in my household.
No, not anywhere.
I don't like double dipping.
And he was caught on camera as well, big Alexander. So
I've seen it on Channel 7 this morning.
Labor Party have pounced on it.
Oh, they've highlighted it.
Yeah, double dipping. You just can't do that. You can... If you'd want to do it, if you need your sauce as a necessity to have it, you've got to turn the wedge around or the chip around or the sausage around or whatever.
Yeah.
You've got to keep the germs out.
No,
you just can't whack it straight in where your lips have touched.
You surprised me. I thought you'd be a double dipper. You don't normally worry about these sorts of things. Well, all right. So we're on the same.
Saying I'm bloody dirty?
No. Well, anyway, I'm not accusing you of anything.
Yes, you are. No. What are you doing?
You well, you always tell me you're not a big hand washer and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm not big on that.
Mm. But double dipping's not on.
That's right, because you're affecting other people there.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm thoughtful.
If you come to my house and we're having nibbles, you know, dips and cheese and all that sort of platter to start off with, don't double dip.
No, you can't do that.
No, I'll show you the door if you do it at my place.
You thought un-Australian last week with Elle Macpherson too, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People were bagging Elle Macpherson. Come on.
You just can't do that no matter what she does.
Not on. Not on. But no, this is up there with it, double dipping. So Alexander Downer, no wonder they didn't win the election up there in Mayo.
Yeah, exactly right. Give us a call for un-Australian behaviour that's happened over the weekend. 1-3-3-5-3 for any un-Australian activity.
Rui, hey, by the way, just quickly, the fella that cut me off coming out of the footy Saturday night. So when I say cut me off, I stopped suddenly and let him in. Didn't wave.
Oh,
geez, I
come on, mate! It's not hard to lift a finger.
Just give me a little nod,
a little acknowledgement.
No,
he didn't have to do it, did?
Ignored me.
Yeah, we need more of that on the roads in South Australia. Mm. Let people in, merge, be happy on the roads,
and then give a wave as well.
That's all right. Even if it's a bird. let's go to Elizabeth Downs. G'day, Carol.
How you going, guys?
Good Carol.
Morning. I went to a barbecue. And we took a heap of prawn skewers.
Yeah.
And, you know, something a bit special, as we do. And the guy's house that we went to, after they were cooked, they were all sitting on the table, picked up the platter with the prawn skewers on it, had them next to him so no one else could eat them.
Oh, no.
And until he had eaten enough, and they'd gone cold, and then put them back on the table for everyone else to
eat. Oh, get out. Oh, no.
Get out.
I'm not kidding you.
Did you give it to him a bit?
Well, someone else that was there and says, that's pretty rude. And he said, oh, well, anyone want a drink?
Right. So he was guilty. He knew he was guilty.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he didn't care.
Well, repay the favour another thanks, day, Carol. Yeah. Don't invite him to the next barbie.
Correct.
Let's go to Marion. G'day, Blake.
Good morning, boys. How are we going tonight?
Good. Well,
un-Australian, what's happened, Blake?
Well, playing in the Reds on the weekend for the mighty Marion Rams, of course. And, took a few minutes at March in the second half and, going all right. Siren goes, right by 10 points, probably about 60 metres out and taking a beautiful mark. Umpire's gone. If you take that kick, I'll give you a red card.
What?
Yep.
If you had a shot at goal from 60 out after the siren, you're entitled to, weren't you?
Yeah, I would have thought so. And the umpire was threatening me with a red card.
Why?
If I was to take the kick. So,
why?
Pretty disappointed with that. I thought that was very un-Australian.
Doesn't he know the rules, the umpire?
I'm not sure. It was obviously Resi's football. I'm not really sure what happened. He just sort of said, if you take the kick, it's going to be a red card, mate. Sorry.
Now, Blake, were you wasting everyone's time? I mean, could you have dobbed it from 60?
I don't think so, but well, I'm told to have a crack.
It's a stat. Brad Ebert did it after the siren yesterday, didn't he? Had a shot?
Yes, he did.
About 65?
Yeah. No, all right. Fair enough, Blake. Yeah, you got to have a go.
Mm.
All right, more calls in just a moment. Un-Australian, 1-3-3-5-3. Ruined it's on Triple M. Ruined it's we are taking calls on un-Australian things.
Yeah, after Alexander Downer double-dipped a wedge at the election on the weekend, can't do that. Let's go to Parafield. G'day, Milena.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, thanks. What's your behaviour that you found?
Well, I'm a bit with you guys. Nobody waves anymore. I flick my lights at people all the time to let them know to slow down for cameras.
Oh,
I figure I'm helping them because I'm saving them getting a fine.
Yep.
And nobody waves at you.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, everyone waved back. Nobody waves.
Well, they should.
Because what's going on?
Is it illegal to do the light flashing?
Yeah, if you get caught.
Thanks for your honesty there, mate.
Cops will pull you over.
Let's go to Mike Ponga. G'day, Andrew.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you?
Very well.
A number of years ago, went to my uncle's for a barbecue with the parents, and Dad took the, would have been West End or probably Southwark even back in those days.
Yeah.
And put it in the esky, and my uncle grabbed Dad's beers out and put his home brew out of the cupboard in there and put Dad's beers in the cupboard.
Oh, no.
What?
No.
No, so that's all right. When he had his back turned, Dad went and swapped them back again.
Yeah. Oh, you can't do that.
No.
No, no.
Yeah. Keep your home brew to yourself, Oregon.
You can't even, like, if you take your own beers, if you take your beers to a barbie and put it in the communal esky, if you haven't drank all your beers, you can't go and grab them and take them home. You can't even do that.
No. No.
If someone, if the owner of the place where the party is grabs your remaining six pack and chucks it in your hand and say, take them home, I don't want them, then you can take them.
Yeah.
But you just can't go and grab them.
No.
Can you?
No.
No. You look like a real. Sort of,
there are rules in place.
There are rules in place for that. Mm. Let's go to Henley Beach. G'day, Roxanne.
Hi, guys. How are you this morning?
Roxanne. Good, Rox.
That's good. So we were at the footy on Saturday night, and you know how they do the kiss cam?
Yeah. Did you get on it?
I was really excited. No, I didn't. I'm going to my husband. Pucker up. Quick. Anyway, he said to me when I'm saying it, because they were in front of us, he said to me, don't worry. That lady two rows down's already won it. And I'm going, what do you mean? Her husband's not even there. Next minute, the husband comes running down. Off they trot down to the front, do a little pashy, win a signed Guernsey.
So it's rigged.
It was preempted.
Hang on.
Yes, oh, apparently.
Bloody Adelaide Football Club. What's going on, Ro?
Oh, kiss cam. You can't preempt a kiss cam.
You're kidding.
Well, they did, and I was really disappointed because my daughter's off to Cambodia at the end of the year to do work in an orphanage, and they've got a quiz night, and I thought, oh, beauty, can win the Guernsey, give it to her, she can raffle off, get heaps of money because we're all crow supporters.
Wouldn't happen at a Port Adelaide game.
No, they wouldn't give anything away.
No, they wouldn't give away a Guernsey.
you wouldn't want to kiss anyone next to you either.
No.
But thanks for your call, Roxanne. Let's go to Reeves Plains. I wonder where that is. G'day, Marcus.
How you going, fellas? All right?
Where are you from?
Reeves Plains.
Where's that?
Oh, near Malala, Gawler, Two Wells.
Okay, good stuff. Right, is that where the old Tassie Tiger was, Dits?
Yeah. That's where he was spotted, yep.
Yeah. I won some tickets to the Angels with you guys, and it was absolutely awesome. But either side of us, on four seats, were empty. So we figured there are other competition winners that won tickets and didn't go. I reckon that's fairly un-Australian.
Ludges, yeah.
Oh, unbelievable.
When was this?
It was an excellent show. It was on Saturday night, Symphony of Angels. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. You're kidding.
Yeah. So you should go to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this, definitely un-Australian,
mate. Don't pick them up if you're not going to use them. We'll give them off to someone.
Yeah.
I do that with my footy tickets, Dits, if I'm not using. I always find someone to
usually
let them go to the footy.
Few bucks for them, don't you, every week?
Oh, hang on. That is un-Australian. I wouldn't do that.
No,
I would not do that.
All right.
In fact, the bloke I gave my tickets to on the weekend, I said to him when I gave them to him, I said, you are a jinx, you know that. And look what happened. Could not kick straight.
No. Hey, speaking of which, in a moment, $40,000 kick for cash. We'll reveal three names. And then we're going to talk about the fact. Well, we're going to ask
another
the question,
new hospital.
Another hospital in South Australia. God, how much money have we got? Ruined it here on Triple M. 8:12, Ruined it here on Triple M. Ru, our Premier Stephen Marshall wants to build a new women's and children's hospital. At great expense, obviously.
Do we need it? Where should we build it?
Can we afford it?
All the big questions.
Yeah, let's get Channel 7 political reporter Mike Smithson on. Smith, oh, good morning.
Yes, good morning,
just,
boys.
Just before we get to the hospital, can I ask you about the Super Saturday elections? Was there or could there be an alternative way to do that? We've gone through all this rigmarole. I had to vote in Mayo, so I had to go back again on Saturday and cast my vote again. And
so just to be clear, the people that were had double citizenship, what, they're allowed to go back in, were they?
Well, Rebecca Sharkey stood down and then got voted back in.
Is that how it works, Smitho?
Well, it's sort of how it works. They had to renounce their citizenship, so they had to go back to square one. And once they'd renounced it and all the decks were clear in terms of the legalities of it, that's when we went to the by-elections. But guess what, Ditch? You'll be going back in about another 8 months' time, so you, at least you know the way to the polling booth, don't you?
We're on first-name basis, me and the sausage bloke.
But, yeah, it's a total waste of time, isn't it? It's what it, I guess what it proved, that those who were there are still there. Mm. So in that respect, they got their fair entitlement to serve an entire term in Parliament. It showed a couple of things that I guess Labor's not on the nose as people thought they may have been, and Rebecca Sharkey seems to be the person in Mayo as a virtual independent that people want.
So it just gave people a chance, if they didn't like the fact that they were dual citizens, to not get elected again. That was basically all it served, and it looks like no one was fussed about it.
Well, exactly. But constitutionally, Roo, that's the way it has to be done. Mm. If you want to go against the Constitution, then you break rules all over the place. So it's just conforming to the rules. But I went to a number of booths on Saturday and just followed various candidates around. And most of them were just about empty. There were more electoral offices there. And I said to one of them, how much is this costing? And they said, we hate to think, but guess what? We'll be coming back again in 8 months, and it's taxpayers' money. It's in the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's, you know, it's a joke. It really
did,
is.
Did Stephen Marshall, was it a pre-election promise to build a new women's and children's, or is it just an idea?
Well, it was a pre-election promise, actually, going way back to when Julia Gillard was Prime Minister. From memory, it certainly was a Labor government initiative that Stephen Marshall inherited and took over. And for quite some time, the price tag was a hidden secret until the advertiser did a Freedom of Information and uncovered the cost that is actively being explored is up to $1.8 billion.
How does that work when the picture in the paper today shows the new RA being, you know, probably... I'm just looking at the picture. The amount of land available looks like about a fifth of the, or sixth of the size of the RA. How could it be a very similar cost?
Well, according to this, the complexities of building a hospital on such a small parcel of land, and I know that parcel very well because Channel 7, when we need a backdrop for the hospital, it's the ideal place to go, a nice green area, but it's not a big area at all. And then you've got height restrictions because it's in the near the flight path for Adelaide Airport. I'm thinking...
Why don't they build the old RA site?
Because they want it connected to... And I can see the logic of having it connected to the major hospital. If you need specialists and you need specialist equipment in a hurry, it's the obvious place to build it, but you look at it and not, you know, I agree with you.
We haven't had the two hospitals together before, so and it's worked okay. But and if it has to be together, why didn't they do build the current RA a bit smaller so the women's and children's had more space?
Because the current RA is not big enough as it is.
You've got to look
50 years in advance. I think that the parcel of land is too small for what they want. And if that's adding to the cost because you've got to pack more into a smaller site, where are the economies of scale there? There are none. And you're bounded by Port Road, you're bounded by the train line. You can't go any further north or south or east or west for that matter. So
if the RA's not big enough now, then why don't they leave that space for that to grow into as we, you know, as we need more beds? We're going to have to build it another site, surely.
Have you ever thought of running for Premier?
No, but it just seems
very
basic.
He is anyway. He runs the joint.
It seems a very basic decision, doesn't it? If it's not big enough now, they'll need to grow into it.
You run football and radio in this state. Yeah, you might as well run politics as well.
Yeah, but that does seem very obvious, doesn't it? And it just doesn't look possible to build the women's and children's on that little parcel of the land.
No, I think that there are going to be more problems than there are solutions building there. And you look at the cost, and if it's starting at 1.8, where do you think it's going to end up?
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened to the new RA. So that's going to be an issue that Stephen Marshall has to deal with. Do you go ahead with it, or as you say, do you find another location that is going to be the right size? It mightn't be quite the right location, but it would be the right size hospital fit for purpose for 50 years.
Yeah. Now, all good questions. Thanks, Smitho. Thanks for joining us.
On your voice. Thank
Channel
you.
7 political correspondent Mike Smithson. Ruined Dits for breakfast.
You haven't missed Ruined Dits, so don't miss SA's newest supercar event at the Bend Motorsport Park. Tickets at thebend.com.au.